Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkrin, along with Ken Evans, both of which suffering from a cold, so we'll see how this whole thing goes. But
my voice has been going, and you said yours just got going.
It took me like 40 minutes this morning even to get to this, and I said on Snapchat today that I was bummed that today it's the Superman filter as opposed to Batman, because with this I've got a really awesome Batman voice.
That you could do that on Snapchat,
right? So I have to use the laser eyes instead for Superman.
Do you have a podcast about geo filters yet?
This week.
Just wondering what your lineup's getting bigger and bigger each time I come in here. So.
This week in Geo Filters.
I got to wait behind a lot of other people to do podcasts at this point.
Okay. But you're always number one with me, Ken. All right. We have plenty of stuff to talk about. We will start right at the top. We had, I put up a video on Facebook today talking about that we were doing the show. If you had any questions, feel free to let us know. And one of the questions was, hey, can you guys do some UFC 200 fantasy booking? Like, who would you like to see? Which I was fully intending on doing right up until 4 minutes before we do this. Ariel Helwani breaks the news that the UFC, for some reason, watched a different fight than we did and thinks that after an 8-week camp that Conor McGregor will have a better outcome against Nate Diaz.
Okay, so we'll start with this fight first and then go to some of the other rumored matchups at this point.
For sure.
Now, what weight do we want this fight at? Do we want it at 170 again, or do they want it at 155?
Well, let me see if that's even...
Because I don't know. The guy doesn't get really any smaller as far as being able to absorb punishment, and that was the biggest thing that you saw in that fight with Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor admitted it immediately afterwards. He used his code words. I think he said he was inefficient with his punches and the bigger man could handle more. But he laid out, you know, some big punches on Nate Diaz in that fight, and it didn't do much to Nate. Does that change if Nate has to do a weight cut? I don't really feel like it does. But maybe they're targeting this for 155. I thought our target for 200 was going to be maybe get Conor McGregor back in there and maybe let him do that rematch against Aldo, or maybe do a fight against Frankie Edgar.
Now, I would rather have the Edgar fight because I think it's new and fresh. And honestly, I think, if you're doing fantasy matchmaking and you really feel that there's some sort of inefficiency that you saw there, I think Frankie's actually a bit of a better boxer than Nate Diaz. So that, to me, becomes a really, really interesting fight that I would like to see.
And he can take a punch, maybe not as well as Nate, being much bigger.
Not as well as Nate. Now, nothing in the Nate McGregor story from Ariel Helwani minutes ago says the weight. My guess would be still 170. But even if I'm wrong and it's 155, I don't think you're wrong because it's still 10 pounds up. And I think...
For Connor.
And I think that you're 1,000% correct in that a guy like Nate Diaz can take a whole bunch of punishment and wear you out. Now, in this particular case, the difference between Nate and Nick is Nick's go-to move is those body punches that wear you down and pepper you down. And while Nate did some of that, what he essentially did is use his face to suck up all of Connor's energy and then go, okay, rounds 2-3, now that I didn't really have a camp, I'm warmed up and ready to go. Okay, if we give him an 8-week camp and he can go from round one, do we really think that all of a sudden you're going to get a different look at Conor McGregor? Now, I'm not taking away from the Mystic Mac.
No, I don't think you get a different look. And the most amazing thing is you talked about what is usually Nate Diaz's bread and butter. He didn't really even need to use that. So if things got deep in that fight, he would have probably gone to the body. But, I mean, he choked out Conor McGregor. And, again, I know a lot of people are talking about tap versus no tap because in the same night we saw Holly Holm go out without tapping.
Which, I mean, if we want to talk about that, we can, but I think that's stupid.
But there are people talking about it. Sure. So, I mean, he didn't seem to have a defense on the ground. He gave Nate really good shots. It didn't really affect Nate. I mean, he did a lot of damage, but, again, he couldn't finish the fight. And a guy like Nate or even Nick Diaz, you got to finish those dudes because they're not going to stop fighting. Very few times are they going to stop fighting. You're going to have to sub them or knock them out. And those are very hard things to do. One, I don't think McGregor has the skill set to sub Nate Diaz. Just don't think it's there.
Hell no. No.
Secondly, the knockout?
You can have my wallet. There's
okay,
no,
all right.
That's not a thing that's happening.
It's a very nice wallet.
Thank you. You can have it.
It's Jack Spade, so yes. I might take Eric up on that. So you've got that. And then the second part, okay, you're going to have to knock him out. Connor, can he do it? Maybe. But I didn't see anything in that fight that showed me he could do it. But
well,
here's the thing that we have to look at
sure.
for 200, as far as the fight goes and as far as what's going on. You have to remember that, as we speculated in the last podcast, this was the biggest pay-per-view in UFC history. That's what Dana White has said. They may have the most watched pay-per-view in UFC history. When you have that, I don't think it's the worst move in the world to maybe go to that well again, because as bad as that fight went, you and I probably aren't turned off of seeing that happen again at this point.
No, but what I am turned off about, Ken, is the idea that, you know, are we just trying to rub all of the shine off of McGregor? So two losses to Nate Diaz, you know, where do we go then when it's a back-to-back loss against the same guy at not your weight class?
I don't know where you go at that point, but, I mean, they made a lot of money before, so, I mean, they're going to make a lot of money again. Is the rate of return on Conor McGregor entirely on the fact that he was undefeated in the UFC? I don't think so, but you never know. What you would have to look more at is what is the fight he would take after he loses twice. Then he's got to go defend his title, right?
Well, yeah, but you, again, if he's losing twice to a guy who is an excellent boxer, do you really think that Frankie Edgar is not a good boxer?
If that ends up being the fight, no. I mean, he could be coming off three losses, so you got to figure that out if you're the UFC. Do you want to spend that shine, as you called it earlier? Do you want to spend that shine on UFC 200 to get this card filled out? Because right now, I think they want a champion on the card. I don't know if you necessarily want a champion who's not defending his belt, but hell, it worked. It was the biggest pay-per-view in history with him and Diaz. So you do that again? I don't know.
I would guess, again, like, I'm not asking them to protect Conor McGregor. I'm just asking them to maybe think about smarter things for them to do. You want to do this later on? I'm okay with that. But I think he needs to go down, and I think he needs to fight Frankie Edgar. If you want a quote-unquote UFC version of the freak fight, you have RDA running around going, I'll fight Nate Diaz. I'll fight Robbie Lawler.
Mm-hmm.
And if that, you know, tell me you do, I mean, is it as sexy as Conor McGregor? No, but Rafael Dos Anjos, the champion, versus Robbie Lawler, the champion, at, I don't know, 160? That's a really interesting idea for 200.
Do you want to, yeah, but see, I think everybody's looking at this. 200, 200, 200, I get it. They want to do something big and unique and fun, and it's UFC 200, but you also have to know there's going to be a UFC 201. What? There's going to be a UFC 202. Do you want to do all these weird things all of a sudden? Oh, good, everything's a super fight. Okay, calm down. Can we defend some titles? Can we figure that out first? Because I know Dos Anjos and Lawler's probably the only other option after watching that unstoppable press conference, because basically all the champs are lined up at this
so
point.
So this is what I'm saying, right? You have to, and we talked about this 8 months ago when we saw this and went, okay, everything's locked up and you have nothing announced for 200, which is really different than what you did for 100. Now, I know the times have changed and you've nearly tripled the amount of events,
mm-hmm.
and that makes it difficult. However, you're right. You need to have a champion on there, and I know that there is one champion who's been squawking about getting on this card.
So why would you say squawking? That's misogynistic.
Oh, God. Here we
Come
go.
Come on now.
Sorry. Intelligently discussing the options of getting onto UFC 200 in their best,
squawking,
in their business
really?
Best interest. Is that
Way
better?
Way to go, Donald Trump.
Oh, wow. I didn't say build a wall.
You know, they squawk.
I didn't say build a wall
they're
so
squawking,
she can't come in.
And they're bleeding everywhere, and it's just not excellent. It's just not.
Misha Tate wants on this card.
Yes.
She said she's ready. Give her a fight. What fight do you give her, though? And does she cost herself money? Because, look, Dana White's been really open about the fact that he didn't like how Holly Holm managed herself after winning the title. She wanted to stay active. Her camp and her management and everybody involved wanted her to take a fight. Well, she took the fight. She lost against Misha Tate. I'm sure she made a decent amount of money, but Dana White has said her camp and her management probably cost her $10 million. $10 million. So if you believe that and you're Dana White and you're the UFC, I don't know if you want Misha Tate at this point to take the fight, because Dana has said the fight is already set. It's going to be Ronda. And Misha disagrees with that. We disagree with that on the last podcast if you were tuned in. Misha's not sure if Holly should get a rematch. She's not sure why Ronda should get the shot immediately. She's she's in the situation that we are. Like, she wants to fight. She wants to shoot for 200. Is that the best move for her if it's not a Holly Holm rematch? Should she wait for the Ronda fight? Which is, I know you're upset and you're.
I'm not upset.
It's ridiculous.
Like, well, because at this point,
but it keeps happening.
This Ronda rematch is like, are we waiting for a unicorn to show? Like, she hasn't signed anything.
No.
If somebody says,
well, once the woman who beat her ass got beat up, she decided she was going to get back to work.
Right,
via text.
She was getting back to work by eating apples. See, I can eat apples, right?
I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm not advocating for what's going on there. But when the realistic proposition here is Dana White keeps saying Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey,
then sign a piece.
I know, but we have to address it. I'm not disagreeing with you.
I am addressing it in the
but
way
you
that
gave
like,
me the side well, eye and the eye roll all at once.
Only because
you look like you had a tick when I mentioned Ronda Rousey's name.
Just because I understand why she wants to, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, get back to work, because she feels that Miesha Tate is an easy fight for her because she's beat her already more than one time, right? Miesha is a different fighter. Will there be a different outcome? I don't know, because half of it is which Ronda's going to show up, or why I'm sighing, ticking, whining, and rolling my eyes is if Ronda's going to come back. And if Ronda doesn't come back and your women's champ at bantamweight sits out till 2017 waiting for her to come back and she doesn't, then what?
Again, and I agree with you. I was the one advocating that Holly shouldn't have to wait and telling you all those things. But I do think from a realistic business perspective, if Dana White's even close to the truth, he's not exaggerating the number, but he's close. If you're costing yourself millions upon millions of dollars, do you go and take that shot? I think Miesha Tate wants to fight. She said she wants to be ready for 200, and whatever happens there, happens there. So, you know, if Ronda Rousey really wanted to fight, this should be what she would be tuning up for. This is what she should be training for, is to be on 200. Because Ronda by herself can sell 200. You don't have to worry about moving things around on the card. You make the, is it the Kane-Travis Brown fight
Kane,
happen?
Travis Brown.
Kane just lost the belt last year, right? He hasn't fought since.
6 years ago.
Like, it feels like a long time.
Oh, they get injured so many times.
Well, and Travis finally has a shot to lock down that number one contender spot. So that should be a good fight. You said they want Gegard Mousasi on the card.
They got Mousasi and Derek Brunson is the only thing that I think is actually inked.
I think, you know, if Ronda's not coming back, but Ronda could come back and make that card. But I'm agreeing with you as insofar as your frustration with her as a fighter is that she could make this happen and she could make the whole event and she could get a giant cut of the pay-per-view. And she's not doing it. So I don't know how much allowance we make. We have to talk about it because Dana said that's the fight. That's the only reason I'm talking about it, Eric. I'm not trying to make that fight,
but
if that's the fight, then what the hell are we doing with Miesha Tate right now?
Well, and I think if that's the fight, then let's put this down on
put
paper.
Put it on the calendar.
You know, because you've got some big things happen this week, and I don't want to get totally derailed, but it looks like the New York MMA thing is finally going to get itself fixed.
Oh, you really? your side eye and eye rolling with that.
Right. Well, I mean,
it's me every time you talk about New York MMA looks pretty good this
so
week.
So it looks pretty good this week, you know. And if that's what you're going
to... We're totally going to get Luke Rockhold and Chris Weidman and MSG this time.
Right. If that's what you're going to do, maybe that fight deserves to be there. But I think in order to be fair, all I'm asking for is in order to be fair to your champion, you can't... I don't think it's fair to make her sit around and wait for something that hasn't happened yet.
I don't think it's fair to make her wait either.
If Ronda wants to fight, ink a contract, and then we all know. Everybody knows.
I just think it's really interesting that we're talking about this coming off of Dana stating that Holly Holm and her management cost herself $10 million by doing what they did, which for a guy like Dana White is only going to reaffirm what he said. Like, I told you to wait for the fight, and you didn't. So whatever his feeling is about Miesha Tate, which he's been on the record as also saying, Ronda's the next fight. When you have something that essentially confirms what you thought, what your thought process was, he's only going to be emboldened by that and go, I told you not to take that fight. Did you see what happened to Holly? No, the fight's you and Ronda. Did you see what happened to Holly? I told her, and she cost herself $10 million. The fight's you and Ronda. So I don't know if that's where Dana's going to sit with this, but right now she's the only champ other, I think you said, Rafael Dos Anjos is...
Yeah, RDA, like I said, he wants
a fight with Lawler?
He was good. He said he's good for Nate Diaz or Lawler, which is interesting.
So he just wants out of his division then?
Well, maybe. I mean, or he just saw what happened with McGregor. Like you said, it's a money fight. And if it's a money fight, who doesn't want to be a part of it? And that stuff is interesting. But to your point, they've got a 10-pole event in UFC 200 that they have to do something at. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to do Phil Brooks or CM Punk because he's injured every 8 minutes, so he won't be ready for that. you have Miesha Tate, but if there's no Ronda Rousey, likely she won't be ready for that. You got Werdum and Stipe fighting on May 14th. They won't be ready for whichever.
No, I mean, we looked at this Unstoppable press conference, basically gave us a real good look at what's coming up and also a real scary look at 200, because we don't know what you can do considering where these fighters are placed right now already on different cards.
And you've got Jones and Cormier in April, so maybe except what do you do with them?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you get them back in July? I mean, maybe John, if he wins, he wants to fight again quick because he's been off for a year and a half.
This is what I'm saying. Like, you could do it. And then the only thing would be...
The other thing, too, is they just spent what I thought could be an option is by getting Anderson Silva on that card.
Ugh.
You don't like the fight?
I do not.
I mean, we don't want to get too deep into 198, but if you're not aware, they want to do... they are doing it. It's signed, right? Uriah Hall, Anderson Silva?
Yes, Uriah Hall, Anderson Silva. And as I said this morning...
Does that add anything to a card where you already have your championship on your heavyweight championship on the fight card? Are you more or less likely to buy Anderson Silva versus Uriah Hall? That seems like again, I have all the respect in the world for Uriah Hall. I think he's a good fighter, and I have a lot of respect for him. That's why I think maybe this isn't the best fight. I think he could go in there and beat Anderson Silva at this point, from what we've seen out of Anderson Silva the past couple fights.
Well, and we were...
So why are you wasting Anderson Silva on a fight that he has a real good chance of losing? Because let's say he wins this fight. He's not in the title picture, is he? I mean...
Uriah Hall?
No.
Oh, God, no.
So what are you doing? Put this dude in some fun feature fights. Find something else for him to do.
Well, I just thought it was interesting, and I said this morning on the Facebook page. Like, I thought it was an interesting pick because you've got two guys that you can call Harry Potter 1 and Harry Potter 2.0, right? There's two guys that are going to do magic spinning stuff,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is going to land them. And as you saw in the Bisping fight, you've got a guy in Anderson Silva that seems to lack the killer instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Cracks Michael Bisping, forgets that you have to finish the fight.
Right.
Celebrates, then loses the fight, right? Uriah Hall doesn't lack that gear. He's learned a lot since the tough loss
mm-hmm.
against Gastelum, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a really bad matchup for Anderson Silva, and a really, I think.
Well, plus you have Uriah Hall coming off a loss right now. As impressive as Uriah has been, he's coming off that loss to Robert Whittaker. So you've got an instance where he's coming off a decision loss, and he could beat the guy that up until a year and a half ago was still considered one of the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world. And that just seems like you're going to not... You talked about shine earlier with Conor McGregor.
Yes.
You have shine still with Anderson Silva. Even with the craziness of the Bisping fight, even with the two losses to the former champion, Chris Weidman, you have shine there. Is there a lot of shine left if Uriah Hall knocks it off him?
No, there's zero shine. And this is why I thought this was interesting. All of that said, though, when you look at 85, who is the easy fight? Right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what else you would do with him, but my fantasy...
Well, they want to put Musasi at 200. I thought that'd be a fun fight, Silva Musasi, but he's going to take on somebody else you were telling me at 200. I forget off the
top. He's taking on Derek Brunson.
Is that... What? There's another guy, too. Like, Derek Brunson, I'm not taking anything away from the guy, but who's buying that card for that fight? But you tell me Gegard Mousasi and Anderson Silva coming off a loss are fighting. I want to see what the hell happens in there. Who knows what's going to happen in there? Mousasi shows up?
Right.
Does he try to stalk Anderson Silva while Anderson Silva does, like, monkey jumps and flying fists and whatever Tai Chi DVD he watched that week? I mean, come on. No matter what happens, that's interesting as hell, right? Mousasi and Silva?
Yes. So you've got, you know, if you're looking at middleweight, you've got Rockhold and Weidman locked up supposedly at 199.
Mm-hmm.
Jacare is at number two because of what happened.
And you don't want Silva near that right now.
No, you don't. You've got Vitor Belfort, Michael Bisping, who just beat him, Lyoto Machida, then Anderson, Tim Kennedy, Robert Whittaker, Gegard Mousasi, Uriah Hall, Derek Brunson, Talis Latis, Rafael Natal, Dan Henderson, and CB Dalloway.
So I guess ranking-wise, the Mousasi thing doesn't feel that far off, but I feel like spectacle and interest level, that would be a much better fight at this point. Because any of those dudes out of the top five he takes a loss to, I don't know how to say this without maybe pissing somebody off if that's one of their favorite fighters. There's nobody spectacular under number five there at this point. There's nobody spectacular.
Spectacular, no.
Right, which is what you want from an Anderson Silva fight. And you know, as much as some people lay a lot of hate on Bisping, the dude's been around a long time. He's been in some wars. He's always come up just short. He had some name value. He's able to sell some fights with Anderson Silva there. I don't know if Uriah Hall sells fights with Anderson Silva, especially when you're putting them on the bottom of a card that's already booked. That's really weird to me.
Yeah, and you know, if you're
are they having trouble with tickets? It's in Brazil. I know that.
It's in Brazil, and you know, to your point, if you want to do this fight, maybe this is one you put on 200. You know, you got your Anderson fight on Fight Pass. Now get your Anderson fight on pay-per-view, right?
You got Belfort Souza in that card. You've got Matt Brown taking on Damian Maia. It looks like Antonio Ruggiero Nogueira's on that card. I don't know what they're doing. I'm going to buy the card for Verdum Stipe. And then see what else happens. You didn't need to, quote-unquote, waste Anderson Silva on this card. Because I was very interested to see what he does next. Now, do I want to see what happens in this fight? Of course. But when we're looking at a card like 200, which doesn't seem booked at all, you got to wonder what they're trying to do here. Of course you don't you want Anderson Silva? He's probably been the guy between 100 and 200 that was your standard bearer. That'd be a nice little thing to put on the 200 card. Like, hey, for so many of these cards, since we've done 100, Anderson Silva was the guy that we thought was the best pound-for-pound fighter in the UFC. He's going to be at UFC 200. I don't know. Maybe you pull Dan Henderson out of whatever mothballs he's in. I don't know if he still wants a fight or not. Maybe you find somebody for him to fight that's interesting. I doubt Rich Franklin wants to do it. He seems like he's a guy when he retires, he's going to stay retired.
Right.
But I feel like there's some interesting dudes you could have Anderson Silva almost co-main event with still coming off a loss. Instead, you're going to have him fight one of the Ultimate Fighter dudes, and it's going to be maybe third from the top. That just seems stupid.
Yeah, and I, you know, for everyone who
for people who can't see Eric, he's been looking feverishly to try to find out how this matchup works.
Well, I mean, this is
the best option.
I see how the matchup works. I'm looking at pound for pound. I'm looking at the other rankings, and I don't know. I have no idea what you're going to do for UFC 200, because as you're looking at pound for pound, and I just have one question that I know the answer to, but I don't remember the date.
Would you like to share it with the group?
So Cruz and Uriah Faber, when is that?
Cruz Faber, I'll find out for you. But that's before 200 because they were in the presser.
Yes, but 199. Okay, so you've got John Jones at number one from pound for pound, booked on the same card as number two, which is Demetrius Johnson. That's 198.
Yeah, but then... Nobody's buying his regular cards.
No. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're talking about, you know, I'm not telling you he's going to bring you ratings at 200.
I understand what you're doing, but I've just every time you mention his name, I'm obligated to say he doesn't sell paper.
Rockhold on 199 against Chris Weidman. Dominic Cruz on 199 against Chris Weidman. Fabricio Verdum.
Uriah Faber.
Sorry. They're all fighting Chris Weidman.
This will be very interesting.
May 14th, you got Verdum is fighting. Rafael Dos Anjos is open. Robbie Lawler, as far as I know, is open. Conor McGregor at number 8 is open. Daniel Cormier is booked. Jose Aldo at number 10 is open. Weidman is booked. Edgar at 12 is open. Dillashaw, Jędrzejczyk, and Tate. Tate is the only one that's open. So you've got 6 out of the 15 that are open. In your pound for pound, yes.
Okay, tell me who's open. Let's do this fantasy booking real quick.
So you've got RDA is open. Robbie Lawler is open. McGregor is open. Aldo, open. Edgar, open. Tate, open.
Okay. So I think you might need that RDA. Now, here's another question I have for you. Do you think Nate Diaz, coming off of the most watched pay-per-view likely in UFC history, has enough name value for that RDA-Nate Diaz fight? Because RDA hasn't really – I mean, he's a great champion. He won the belt. But he's not a guy that's necessarily going to draw eyeballs. But if you put him in there against Nate Diaz, you got him against the guy that beat Conor McGregor. Are you able to sell Nate Diaz now? Nate Diaz has maintained that Dana White brought up over and over again when they had their contract dispute that Nate just doesn't bring eyeballs to the screen. Do you think that's still the case after what happened with the Conor McGregor fight?
No. I think he's never been bigger. And I think you've got... When you're looking at those rankings, right, at lightweight, you've got RDA as the champ, Alvarez ranked as number one, Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson are locked up at that fight night card. Anthony Pettis, I believe, has a
fight. And here's the thing about 200, and I don't mean to cut you off. Once you get that far down, you're already out of the realm of, like, who's going to headline this card.
Yes, but what I'm saying is RDA and Tony Ferguson really interesting fight that you could put on 200, but you can't because one's open and one is not. So Nate Diaz,
do you let RDA jump up? Because you could also walk into a problem too, where you have a problem where like all your champions have just suffered recent losses because they didn't defend their belts. So do you get? Here's what I think would work. I think you say, hey, let's really figure this out. Nate, what do you want to fight at? Because we'll give you a title shot at 155, at 200, if that's what you want. I think that's easy to make right now. You beat the guy at 145 who's the champ. You'd say he'd be essentially that number one contender at that division at that point if he's able to cut the weight. Let him go up one weight class, essentially, when you're talking about the fact that he beat the champ. I know this is how wonky we're getting, though, when guys are jumping around in weight. I think you could conceivably put Nate Diaz in a title picture fight with Rafael Dos Anjos and sell a lot of pay-per-views at 200. And if Misha wants in, let Misha in. Let her fight Amanda Nunes. Let her fight somebody who's not Ronda, just so it doesn't feel like Ronda. Sure. Ronda shouldn't necessarily get the rub after all this time off.
And Nunes is number four, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. What about Diaz and Lawler?
I mean, I think you could do that too, but I don't know. Does a guy at 170 earn the shot by beating a 145-pounder who was at 170 for that fight? I don't know.
Don't forget unranked right now at welterweight.
Who's unranked?
Nate Diaz.
Nate's unranked at welter?
Unranked.
So, yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I think you've got a guy in Rafael Dos Anjos who's calling him out. Let him do it. You put your belt on the line. Nate, you cut the weight. We'll give you a title shot. Boom. Here we go. Again, I don't know where Nate wants to fight because you're not going to talk Nate into doing anything he doesn't want to do. So, maybe Nate doesn't want a 155 fight. I heard he said that he could do 160 for the fight against Connor. So if you can do 160, you'd think you could do 155. But again, he's a guy that fought there before and has moved up from that. Because there's something about those last couple pounds for some dudes that they either just really don't like the cut, they don't feel like they're going in the fight with the energy they should, or they just can't do it. I'm not saying Nate couldn't because he's a guy that's done it a couple times. But it'll be interesting to see. Fantasy booking for this goes out the window until we know what happens at a couple more of these events. I think the next one's going to tell us a lot. John Jones in and out quick. I'm guessing the fact they haven't said anything about 200 means Dana wants John Jones in and out quick, and he can run him again at 200, and John's going to need the money because he hasn't been working, so John will probably want to run again at 200, and that's your ideal situation because then you have your best pound-for-pound fighter in the world headlining your quote-unquote biggest card in a couple of years.
Well, and the other thing you could do is if Robbie Lawler is open, the other big news this week is Matt Mitrione signed with Bellator, and Rory McDonald said he's got one fight left on his contract. He was pissed about how much money that Nate Diaz made and feels that he's underpaid. So, you know, if you want to give Rory McDonald a shot against Robbie Lawler for the belt, you could renegotiate his contract, mm-hmm. maybe fix some of those money problems, but get him locked up. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but Mitrione and Rory going to Bellator, to me, is kind of a big deal. Now, we're not at the point, because somebody asked me this on Twitter. We're not at the point that you're making Bellator-only fans. That's not a thing. It's mm-hmm. still MMA backwash at this point.
I love Matt Mitrione, and I think the way the last couple fights went for him weren't ideal in UFC. I don't see that making a mark. I don't see that making any mark. What you're going to have is a nice option, and I'm glad Bellator is there. You have a nice option for guys who can run a lot of sponsors now. So if you're a guy like Matt Mitrione, that seems to make a lot of sense for you to make that jump. Rory McDonald, maybe he can do the same thing. I mean, he's got, you know, that Canadian backing. I'm sure there's a lot of sponsors that aren't necessarily in on all the UFCs that would love to be his sponsors that can't get in on that UFC level. So there's going to be guys who can make more money over there. I mean, I know that Scott Coker took a shot at the fact that Matt Mitrione had to do a presser barefoot. And he said, that's never going to happen. You can wear whatever shoes you want when you do a press conference at Bellator. And I get that, but also, you know, we've been in a lot of different types of business where you have to play ball with your sponsors. And if you show up and you know Reebok's a sponsor, I'm sure nobody at Reebok said we're never going to give you shoes. You just didn't wear your shoes, bro.
Yeah, sure.
So don't pretend they made you walk in there barefoot like Fred Flintstone. You forgot the shoes you were supposed to wear, and they probably gave you a boatload for free. So I get what they're saying. I also get that guys can make more money there. I just don't see a lot of impact at this point because the UFC has so many fighters still locked up, has so many of the world's best fighters locked up. I mean, a lot of people were talking about Benson Henderson and what he was going to be able to do now that he's leaving. He's probably going to make a nice living. Is he going to move the needle? I don't think so. So I don't know if that's really in play at this point. We'll wait and see. and maybe those sponsors will change things around because a guy can make a lot more money and make ancillary income that Bellator doesn't have to put up.
So, well, let me ask you the follow-up to that is because since the last time we did the podcast last week, crazy stuff happened. Well, not surprising stuff, but crazy stuff happened in that both Ken Shamrock and Kimbo Slice tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs.
Mm-hmm. First, they both need a refund because if it said performance-enhancing anywhere on the box, they should both get a refund and start like one of those lawsuits, those class action lawsuits.
Yes, right. Like
mesothelioma.
Yes, exactly.
I think those performance-enhancing drugs gave Ken Shamrock and Kimbo Slice mesothelioma, which is really weird because usually you only get that from asbestos.
Right, yes. So there was asbestos.
I don't think they should have taken those asbestos pills. I will 100% here on the podcast today state that you should not take asbestos if you're going to be an MMA fighter.
Yes, that's true. You should not breathe asbestos.
Bold statement.
But here's my take on this, right? So one, I don't disagree with you. They did not really enhance your performance. Two, as much as Hoist can be kind of a hard guy in recent years to root for because he's just kind of an angry old man at this point, it really takes away any sort of, I don't know, argument you have about the low blow not being called when you were cheating the entire time.
Well, because it was probably hard to land a low blow after using all those drugs.
Right. Then there's that, too. Right. So Ken, I think, loses all of his credibility to ask for it to be turned into a no contest because guess what? Surprise. It's a no contest. Right. If you had won the contest because you're cheating.
Yeah.
And then with Kimbo.
Have they ever taken a no contest and made it a different no contest? Because I would love to see Ken go through like the whole little hearing spiel and all the stuff.
You're right. It is a no contest. Hang on. It's a different no contest. It's a no contest because you're a cheating jerk face.
So there you go. Oh, now Ken Shamrock's pissed. He's calling you.
Yeah, totally mad. And then with Kimbo, I mean, like.
You know what I think is interesting about him?
What do you even say about that?
I feel like Kimbo should be able to take whatever he wants. Like anybody in that anybody in that fight can take whatever they want.
He tried to take a net. So this is what I was talking about, though, in all seriousness, before you get to what you were just going to say.
I was going to be serious.
Dada 5000 nearly dies in this fight, right? What happens if he actually dies in this fight and it turns out you're on PEDs, right? Are you liable at that point?
I don't know. The PED manufacturer? No, no.
No, not the, no. Like, is the fighter liable at that point?
Oh, I mean, they
could
be.
Because it goes from, you weren't really healthy enough to compete, probably shouldn't have done this, you did this to your heart because of a various sundry of things, to this guy was also rocking the roids while you were not necessarily healthy enough to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and that to me, to kind of like tie a bow around this, that to me is why Bellator continues to be the MMA backwash, no matter who signs in free agency.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That was going to be my point when you mentioned all this. When you're talking about all this, you think Benson Henderson or Matt Mitrione can help that situation out? No.
Well, no, and for two reasons. One, because they don't ever spotlight them in that way, right? They've got some legit fighters over there, like Will Brooks, that should have been headlining a card like that with one of these underneath it as opposed to back both of them back to back, so that when 88-year-old fighter tests positive for PEDs, you also had a great title fight above that, and maybe it washes away some of the stank of it, right? Where instead you just had an overall terrible card with two terrible fights that a lot of people tuned in, and then lo and behold, guess what? One of the winners and one of the losers was cheating in those fights.
Right. I'll just go back to the fact I don't think you remedy any of that stuff with Benson Henderson, Matt Mitrione, or even Rory McDonald. So it's a nice little discussion point. It's interesting that these guys can make some more money maybe in Bellator, but I don't know if that's that big a deal at this point. Now,
do you see any point where this becomes and this is the question I get all the time on Twitter. So this is kind of where I want to go.
If it wasn't Dan Henderson back in the Strikeforce days, it's not going to be any of these fighters for a long time for Bellator.
Okay, so this is what I'm saying. It's like, do you see a point at any point where this becomes WWE, WCW, mid-90s?
Not at this point. I mean, again, but all it takes is that one big signing. All it takes is that one big get, so to speak. And it'll be interesting to see who that get is because the UFC's done a really good job. If you're a champ, they're going to take care of you. So you're probably in good shape if you're a champ. You're not going to leave. And it seems like that would be the only type of level that at this point could leave and cause any amount of disruption in what's happening between the two promotions. And I'm really trying to think, like, because let's say they sign Chris Weidman tomorrow, the guy that beat Anderson Silva, but he just lost his belt. Be a big deal, but man, he just lost the belt. So yeah, he's another one of those dudes.
Well, and he never got over, right?
Right.
Never got over. He beat Anderson Silva twice and couldn't get over and then lost
his McDonald, belt. Rory McDonald, a war with Lawler. Probably some are calling it the biggest back and forth battle in MMA history. Still, not probably going to move the needle a whole lot. You know, I'm trying to figure out here. Jose Aldo just lost to Conor McGregor. Oh, there's the guy. As long as the champs are locked down for the most part, I don't think there's anybody who can move that needle simply by doing a UFC Bellator jump. The one guy who could have done that decided he didn't want to do it at all, and that was Brock Lesnar. And I know some people are going to be really mad about me bringing Brock into this, but if you want to talk about Bellator and Impact and what would actually change a little bit of the dynamic there, that's a guy who up until last month had the most – he does still. He still has the most eyeballs ever on him when you go through all his pay-per-views.
Sure.
As opposed to almost any other guy, maybe Anderson Silva because of the big fights, and he had more fights. But like even Anderson Silva at this point, they're putting him in there with Uriah Hall. So clearly, they, you know, if he were to jump over to Bellator, what's he going to do? So I don't know. If we're discussing that, I don't see any movements that are going to make anything really happen on the Bellator front at this point. It's nice that it's there. It's a good option for the fighters, and there's some good fighters there. But, I mean, it's just not going to be at the UFC level for a long time.
All right, this weekend we go to Australia. You get a very, very fun fight at heavyweight with really
– Mark Hunt only fights in Australia and New Zealand, right?
Just needs your travel for him because he's already there. Mark Hunt's taking on Frank Mir. Not a lot of ramifications, I think, for the heavyweight division at this point.
Oh,
since,
I think that's a number one contenders match.
Everybody has their dance card punched. However, a very, very fun fight with two very, very fun competitors.
Do you think Mir has a chance? A lot of guys...
No, not at all.
No, okay.
Zero chance.
I'm just surprised by the fact that so many people are just completely writing off Frank Mir here. I don't disagree with your pick. I don't disagree with your pick, but I mean to write off a former UFC heavyweight champion, to write off a dude with that type of submission skill set, it just seems kind of strange. I like Mark Hunt a lot, but, you know, I guess you could make that argument in the last couple fights. He's only lost to champs or guys fighting for the championship. So I get you there, but it just seems weird how many people are just writing Frank Mir right off in this fight. Frank's not going to go in there and try to kick and box. He's going to try to get a takedown, right?
Try to kick and box?
I don't know.
You're right. He is not going to try and kick
and
box.
He's not
going
to try to do that. Not against.
He might kick box.
Because that's Mark.
He's not going to kick and box.
I think he. You've seen Frank Mir striking. I feel like they're separate dynamics in his head still. I'm going to do the kick, then the box, boss. I'm going to do that. And they're probably like, fine, Frank, go do that and then take him down.
Do the kick and box and then take him down. I mean, look, if it goes to the ground, like, again, let's not forget, for all of the you know, moxie of just saying there's no chance, like, Frank Mir submitted, like, most of the guys in the heavyweight division straight grappling. So he's super.
That's why I'm so
dangerous.
Surprised by how super just blanket it's been. Like, oh, F you, Frank Mir. Good
super,
luck.
Super dangerous.
Hope
on
you
the
don't
floor.
Die on the flight there. I mean, it's like he's just going to.
However, he's also one of those guys who can't really. It's like Andre Arlovsky 3 years ago, where he just can't seem to dial it in.
I'm with you on that, but it's I've just been surprised, and again, this is just my, you know, a tertiary glance at what's happening this weekend, by how many people are just writing this thing off for Frank Mir. I mean, you know, he's not fighting Fedor in 2006, people. It's Mark Hunt. I get it. It's in Australia. It's Mark Hunt. He's got some big wins, but he's also got some losses over the past couple fights. So I think it's a really interesting fight. I think it's a well-done matchup, which is why I'm surprised how many people just shut the door for Frank Mir on this one.
Right. Okay, but if you look, let's go back with both of those guys, right? Mark Hunt has only lost to one former champion, the current champion, and then the guy who's going to fight for the championship since 2011. Frank Mir has lost to just about everybody going back to 2011, save for Antonio Silva, Todd Duffy, and Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira.
Those are some big wins.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm surprised by how many people are just counting them straight out, Eric.
Like, bested by JDS. Bested by Daniel Cormier.
JDS!
Bested by Josh Barnett.
Daniel Cormier, wait.
Bested by Anderson Silva. Bested by Andre Arlovsky.
He didn't fight Not Anderson Silva.
Alistair Overeem, sorry.
Those are two totally different fighters. If you're going to talk about
their level in the sport.
So, and then Hunt lost to JDS, Fabricio Werdum, and Stipe.
Okay. But again, I'm not picking against it, but I mean, Mark Hunt's 41. How old's Frank Mir now?
62?
No, he's not 62.
Hang on, I'll look it up.
How much did that motorcycle accident age him in your mind?
Well, that's true. I mean, then there's that. He's 36, so he's no spring chicken either.
Well, no spring chicken, but I mean, that 6 years in MMA is a big difference. 36 to 42?
Maybe.
Maybe. Oh, well, okay. I give up.
No,
you
no,
guys.
Here's what I would say to you. I would say maybe what would be a better argument from your perspective, I would think, is that Mark Hunt spent time in the death camp that was Pride. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, it's clear,
that'll age you too.
It clears that ages you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And those incremental
Pride's
ages. Pride's
like being president.
Yes.
You just age quickly.
You just age really quickly. I mean, most people don't know this, but Crow Cop is 27.
He just turned 13. That's how they build them.
You know, but that incremental aging that
the
happens.
Slavic nations.
That happens from, from being in that organization. It can't be understated. However,
Vanderlei Silva, 26. I just looked that
exactly.
up.
Right. This is what I'm saying. Like, however, Mark Hunt has proven time and time again that much like the Diaz brothers, you have to straight murder him in there to end the fight.
Or sub him. You just have to sub him. And I know that's easier said than done. But,
yes, because you have to run through the brick hands.
Okay, I give up. I'm just saying, if you get him on the ground, you can sub
him.
Which
I don't understand why you're giving up, because you already picked Mark Hunt. Why do you care so much that we give the nod
I'm
to Frank
Mir? I'm just surprised.
Mir?
Look, it's like those guys who say, I don't agree with that. It should have been a split decision. I just want to do that today. Like, which judge should have voted against the guy you thought should have won with two other judges?
I don't agree with that.
It should have been a split decision,
been a split.
If anything.
If anything, it's a split decision.
What judge
the
should
other,
have?
The other
idiots.
The other big fight is Neil Magny. Hector Lombard is back from his suspension for being popped for PEDs. So that is exciting.
Defining big.
Well, I mean, look.
It's fine for, what is this, FS1?
Yeah. I mean, you've got Neil Magny, who beat Calvin Gastelum and beat Eric Silva back-to-back after coming off that loss from Damian Maia, where mm-hmm. he looked like he was drowning. This is another fight where, to your point, if it gets to the ground, Lombard's got the advantage, I think, in the grappling area and certainly the wrestling area.
Mm-hmm.
Where this gets interesting, and when you're dealing with a guy who's coming off of PEDs, is what is Lombard going to look like, and how will his cardio keep up with Neil Magny? Because Neil Magny can go and go and go. This is the guy who, you know, a year and a half ago was fighting seven times a year.
So where, how what's the altitude in Australia? Do we know? Just trying to find things to talk about here. At this point,
because you can't care less about Neil Magny.
No, it's fine. He's fine. It's all fine.
Okay, all right.
It's fine.
Fair enough.
He beat Gastelum, fight of the night. It was a big deal. It was a big deal. He headlined his own card. He did.
All right, then.
It was a week before Thanksgiving.
It's good to know that that your breakdown of Neil Magny and Hector Lombard is as interesting as any time we have Uriah Hall on this show. Which, by the way, I promise you that I will not interview him.
Come on, now we got to, though, with
no,
the Silva thing.
I can't even do it.
We'll do it with the Silva thing.
No.
We'll say, really? Like, did you believe this fight was going to happen?
Of course I did. Why wouldn't I? No, you only get one. You only get one
dial
answer.
Dial tone.
Yes.
So next week, Uriah Hall on the show, everybody.
Hey, Uriah Hall. Okay, follow along this weekend at WOW Show on Twitter and Facebook. Have a great weekend. We will talk next week. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.